So this morning I was thinking, let's have a little bit of fun with church. It's been a rough few weeks. We're working through. It's never fun to have to work through the death of a loved one. So this morning we're gonna have a little bit of fun, and I need a volunteer. Let me see who will volunteer. How about Alyssa? Alyssa, I need you to do something for me. There's a package of Oreo cookies there. Open them up, take one out, and eat it. Notice she did it right. She twisted it apart. Eat it faster. We do have a time limit. Unless you're dipping it in milk, then you don't twist it apart. That was pretty easy. Let's make it a little bit more difficult. I need another volunteer. How about Andrew? Andrew, I need you to take a cookie out of the package and feed it to Allie. Maybe you'll get one for a tip. That was awful easy. Let's make this a little bit more difficult. Take your glasses off, Liz. We are on a budget, but I have some blindfolds here. Andrew, take a cookie and feed it to Allie. Okay, keep the blindfolds on. I need one more volunteer. Andy. You're going to need this. I need you to give Andrew directions so he can take a cookie out of the package and feed Allie.
All righty. Interesting. All right, put your hand out. All right, pull it back a little bit. Halfway up, stop. Go down. Down, down, down. Keep going, keep going. All right, you're right at the cookies. Grab one of the cookies. All right, bring your hand back up. Up, up, stop. Down a little bit. Up, up, just a tiny bit. Tiny bit up. Up, 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 up. Stop. Reach it forward. Put your hand out. Oop. Pull back a little bit. Now go left. Yep. Now... Turn it. Turn the cookie slightly. Yep. Oop. Slightly. Now go left. Left. Oop. Right. Slowly. Now put it in. There you go.
Thank you. You guys can be seated. And you can take the package of Oreos with you. But don't eat them during service. Everybody else will get jealous. She's going to hide with her cookies. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 26 says this: For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, Because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, Because I'm not an eye, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, we treat this scripture like it's talking about that old adage in the theater. There are no small parts, only small actors. And in a sense, it is saying that. In a sense, it is saying that God put all of us here for a reason, and we all need to be here. And we don't function as well together if we're not together. That is part of what Paul is saying there, but there's something else there. We have to understand the context in which this passage is written, if we want to really understand it. Paul is talking about spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12:1, he starts out and he says, Now concerning spiritual gifts. That's a good clue that he's talking about spiritual gifts, don't you think? When he says, I'm going to talk about spiritual gifts now, we can follow that. That's what he says he's going to do. Then he goes on to say in verses 4 through 11, Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God, who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. See, Corinth had a problem. Corinth is one of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians especially, is one of those fun books of the Bible to preach from, because Corinth was a messed up church. They took everything that there was to get right, and they messed it around, turned it around, got it upside down, got it backwards, and they messed it all up. They just, in fact, there's a point where Paul, in this letter, he says, it would be better if you guys didn't meet at all. You get together and you do so much damage, it would be better if you didn't come together at all. Corinth was a messed up church. One of the things that they were messed up about is the way they viewed spiritual gifts. See, in the world of spiritual gifts, if we look at all of the spiritual gifts that are listed in the Bible, there are some that are more glorified, maybe. Maybe that would be a good way to say it. There are some that seem to give the people that God works through more honor. You know, prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, tongues, interpretation, those things that are more visible in the body. Or if we should lay hands on someone and they are healed, or, you know, those types of gifts, they seem to get a little bit more honor. And in Corinth, this was especially true. In Corinth, they overemphasized the gift of tongues. That was the big one that they were overemphasizing. And they were using it incorrectly, and that's why Paul had to write this part of the letter to fix what was going on. But he started out by putting the spiritual gifts in their proper context. He started out by saying, look, we've got these things, these amazing things that God has given us, that the Holy Spirit has for us. And this is how they're supposed to work. This is what they're for. This is why we have them. And we need to realize that this list that Paul gives in 1 Corinthians 12 is not an exhaustive list. It's not all-inclusive. And in fact, Paul actually alludes to that fact, because when he starts out, he says there are varieties of gifts and ministries and effects. And he took up this conversation in another letter. In Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, Paul wrote, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. The gifts that Paul lays out here, for the most part, are behind-the-scenes gifts. Gifts that people aren't going to see you exercising. Not if you do them right. Can you imagine if God leads you to give to someone a gift, a substantial gift, and you got up in front of the church and said, I have this substantial gift, and God told me to give it to Suri. I'm going to give it to you, Suri. You get this. That's not the way the Spirit works. That's not how it works. The way it would work is the person who has the gift would go to Suri in private, say, I've got this for you. Here. This is for you. God told me to give you this. They're behind-the-scenes gifts, like serving. People don't think of serving as a spiritual gift. Believe me, when I don't have to come in and clean the toilets, I believe that whoever did was working the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying. Serving is a spiritual gift. Now, I do have to be honest. We have an amazing church full of servants. There's a group of people that I know that I can count on. If there's something that needs to be done, they will be there and they will be smiling and they will be cheerful. They will whistle while they work even. I know this. And that speaks louder than any message in tongues ever could, or word of knowledge. Paul talked about exhorting, lifting people up and helping them, encouraging them. You know, that's not just my job. It's not just me who does that. All of us exhort. All of us lift up. There are times when things are going bad, when things are going hard. And Randy, you might just come up alongside of Ethan and say, "Hey, I know it's tough, but you'll make it through. Let me pray with you." That is a gift of the Holy Spirit working through you. That's how the Holy Spirit works. He listed teachers in there, and that's a harder one. Because you talk about teachers and you think that's a pretty public gift. Chris, what you do on Sunday morning, that's pretty public. People see you doing it, right? Hopefully, if you're doing it right anyway, they're seeing you. And I'm here to tell you, I've sat in on enough classes that Chris does an amazing job. If you don't get a chance to go to Sunday school, you need to rearrange your schedule so you can, because he is amazing. Actually, I haven't told you this, but I will tell you publicly, the last couple of missionaries that have come that have sat in and your class have come to me afterwards and said how blessed we are that we have you teaching, because you do such a good job. That's public teaching, but there's also teaching that goes on in private. There's teaching. You guys don't see the times when my father-in-law might just ask me a question. And it's a leading question. It's a teaching question. But he does it in private. You might not see the times when Sam is talking to Andy and just is teaching him something. Or the other way around. It happens in private. That is the way that the Holy Spirit works. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul said he listed that as a gift of the Holy Spirit. So we're back to Paul giving this analogy of the Bible, of the body. And I love the analogy because this is a youth pastor trick. This thing that I did this morning, that's a youth pastor thing. I think every youth pastor has used some version of that illustration at some time. Maybe even children's pastors, I don't know. But to make a point of how we need each other. Because when Allie was by herself, she could grab that cookie and she could eat it just fine. The problem is, no church is complete by itself. No one person is complete by themselves. Take away one of the senses, and we don't have someone there to fill that need, and it gets a whole lot more difficult to do things. Take away the teachers from the church, and it gets a whole lot more difficult for me to be the pastor, because the people that teach, they do a lot of work behind the scenes. Stuff that I don't have to do. Stuff that I don't have to address on Sunday mornings from the pulpit because they're handling it. And you know, the amazing thing is I don't even have to tell them. The Holy Spirit does it. The Holy Spirit guides them and leads them. The people that exhort, the people that serve. Could you imagine, Barb? If I had to set up everything for yesterday all by myself, it wouldn't happen. It might, but not until Wednesday, because I would still be setting stuff up. So, but the Holy Spirit pulls people into place to work together. And you know what? For as quirky as a church as we are, and we are kind of quirky, but that's what makes us lovable. It's So I just have to tell you that Brittany was watching you two yesterday, and she came up to me and she said, "You know, I think if they remade that movie Grumpy Old Men, Jerry and Darlene could be the stars." Ha ha ha. Nobody doubts that you guys love each other. But are you sure that you're not sisters and you haven't told us? We wouldn't be the same. We wouldn't be the same church if Rosemary wasn't here. You guys don't know some of the stuff that Rosemary does behind the scenes. I didn't know some of the stuff that Rosemary did behind the scenes until somebody else pointed it out to me. We wouldn't be the same church if Mike wasn't here, if Arlene wasn't here, if Howard wasn't here, if any of us weren't here. We wouldn't be the same church, because you know what? Part of what we need to function wouldn't be here. There are bits and pieces that come with each one of us being here that we need, that we have to have. And those bits are the pieces where the Holy Spirit is moving through us, is working through us, is manifesting himself through us. And sometimes the Holy Spirit may say, I want you to say this. I want you to rise up and speak and say this. And I've said this before, I want to say it again. This is a safe place. If you feel the Holy Spirit telling you at the appropriate time that it's time to say something, that he has a message for the group, that he wants to speak through you, then you do it. You will not be judged. You will not be condemned. You will not be ridiculed. This is a safe place for that. If you feel the Holy Spirit telling you to do something, step out and do it. Because the chances are really good that somebody needs that something. The chances are really good that somebody has to have that something. And Paul said that the Holy Spirit doesn't use just one of us. He uses all of us. And it's important to understand. And the other part of this conversation that we need to bring into focus is, it doesn't matter how the Holy Spirit uses you. If he uses you and you feel like you're supposed to clean a room, that is just as important as if the Holy Spirit says, I want you to give a word of knowledge. It is just as important as if the Holy Spirit says, I want you to give a message in tongues or an interpretation. It is just as important as if the Holy Spirit says, you lay your hands on this person and pray for them and I'm going to heal them. It may not feel the same, but it is the same. I heard a story yesterday. The guy that was playing guitar, Kevin, his dad owned a bar in Minneapolis. And he used to come home complaining every night because this guy would come in and he would get about three drinks and then he would start preaching every night. And Kevin said his dad came home every night complaining about this guy, driving him crazy. Bunch of years later, Kevin met this guy that he was talking to, a guy named Gene Corey. And he was telling this story about his dad, or Gene was actually telling this story about how when he was younger, he was following Christ, but he had fallen away and he had started to drink. And he would go into a bar every night and he would get two or three drinks in him and he would start preaching. And Kevin said, hold on a second. My dad owned that bar. Part of that is why Kevin is a Christian today. God uses who God uses. Do we need to go back and talk about Balaam and his donkey? Any of you want to be a donkey? No. But I think Don Francisco got it right when he sang the song at the very end. He said, when the Lord starts using you, don't you pay him any mind. He could have used the dog next door if he'd have been so inclined. We need the gifts of the Spirit. We need all of the gifts of the Spirit. And this is an encouragement for those of you that God may have been talking to about speaking out in one of the public worship gifts. Do it. We need it. It's part of what makes the church the church. That's why at the end of this section in 1 Corinthians 14, when Paul is talking, he said, what then, when you come together, everyone should have a song, everyone should have a psalm, everyone should have a teaching, everyone should have a tongue or an interpretation or a prophecy. We all have something to add to the process. We all have something to bring to the table. And we need it all so that we grow up and become mature. Not only as a church, but as individual believers. We have to have it. So let that be your challenge this morning. If you feel that the Lord has been leading you in a certain way, just do it. Get yourself a pair of Nikes and just do it. Or get a Mountain Dew and just do it. I guess they both used that tagline, didn't they? It's probably cheaper to get Mountain Dew. So let's pray. Lord, thank you that you use us. You want to use all of us. It may not look the same. The things that you do may not look the same in each of us, but you do use all of us. And all of us have an important part to play, and we are not nearly as effective apart as we are together. And Lord, for those that would try to separate themselves from the body, draw them back in. Let them know that not only do they need us, but we need them. We're not whole when we're not all together. And we thank you, Lord, that you are creating a whole, that you are bringing us to maturity, that we can be exactly who you called us to be, a city set on a hill that all can see. Lord, thank you so much. We love you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, we have food. So go back to the fellowship hall and have food. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock. Otherwise, have a good day. Thank you.